The count continues in Queensland today. A final outcome, just sit tight, is not expected for a couple of days. The Prime Minister has said the voters of Queensland made their decision to turn away from the LNP on state issues. Well, not entirely, say the analysts. Reporter Ian Townsend spoke to Dr. Paul Williams. He's a political scientist from Griffith University.
Voters are normally pretty good at separating state and federal issues, but there's no doubt there's a lot of federal overlap in this campaign, as there was in Victoria last year. Voters, I think, were quite happy to take out a dislike for Tony Abbott on Campbell Newman as well. The two leaders are not dissimilar. Some of the things that they're proposing in terms of economic austerity are not dissimilar. So clearly, I think voters see the two different governments as two sides of the same coin. Clearly, there's a lot of overlap of federal factors in Queensland.
So the Tony Abbott factor, for one. What are some of the other issues that really did, I suppose, change the minds of all those Queenslanders since 2012?
Well, apart from the federal factors, I mean, there's no denying it that this was still very much a Queensland poll. And the way I see it is that this election has really been a referendum on the last 3 years of the Newman government. And it's been a very unusual 3 years. We've seen some very contentious legislation. And we've seen it was even contentious or unusual in the way that Campbell Newman came to office. He was Premier before he even had a seat in Parliament. First time in Australian history anywhere that's taken place. So really the last 3 years we're asking voters, this election was really about asking voters, how do you feel about that over those 3 years? Particularly things like perhaps controversial anti-bikie laws, changes to our Crime and Misconduct Commission, which is now the CCC, changes to electoral donation laws, etc. And, of course, the big one, of course, it was also a referendum on perhaps the most controversial policy put forward by the LNP, and that, of course, is asset sales, which were changed to asset leases 6 months ago. And the polls have told us time and time again that about 70% of Queenslanders do not want their assets sold or leased, and that was always going to be problematic for the LNP, as it was problematic for the Bligh government. That's one of the big reasons why the Bligh government was defeated in 2012.
It's not all wrapped up yet, though. Labor still is two seats shy of governing in its own right. What are the chances now, do you think, of them doing that?
Oh, look, I'd say there's a 90% chance of Anastasia Palaszczuk, first-term opposition leader, forming government. Again, biggest, most dramatic and spectacular turnaround of any political outfit at state or federal history in Australian history. There is simply no precedent for someone to come back. A party that holds 8% of the seats after the worst performance in a party's 120-year history, coming into government after just one term, unprecedented. But I'd put those odds now at about 90%. You're quite right, I can't see them getting 45%. There are still about four seats in play. Labor needs two more seats. I believe Peter Wellington, the independent, who's been critical of the LNP government's lack of transparency, alleged lack of transparency, says he will support the Labor Party. So the Labor Party needs at least one more. And so really discussions, therefore, will be between the Palaszczuk government, or government in waiting, and the Qatar Australia Party, which has its two members returned, if they don't get to the 44. If they get to the 44, then they only need Peter Wellington. If they get to 43, they will need to talk to the Qatar Party.
Both parties were adamant, though, that there'd be no deals done if there was a hung parliament. If Labor doesn't get a clear majority, deals will be done, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's obviously political rhetoric that the parties have to say to squeeze out of electors' minds any hint of uncertainty. The major parties don't want voters to vote for minor parties, to think that, well, your vote going to a minor party might count. Major parties want to tell minor party voters that their vote is wasted to keep votes inside their camp. So they have to say that sort of thing. But, of course, this is realpolitik. Leaders want to form government. You want to be able to get the confidence of the House and go to the governor and say, please commission me as the Premier or Prime Minister. And that will clearly happen. How the Ms. Palaszczuk spins that will be a different matter. But she'll probably spin it something like, Queenslanders need certainty. We can't be loping around forever. We have to get on with the job of governing.
How's that going to go down with the electorate, though, that's already a bit wary about leaders making promises and that when they're not keeping them?
Well, it's not a good start. Given that Anastasia will be in a honeymoon period, and there's obviously a lot of goodwill towards the opposition leader. She was seen very much as an underdog. I think there was a fair bit of, a give-her-a-go attitude in the electorate. She was a strong contrast to Campbell Newman, who was coming, who, again, the voters were telling us seemed arrogant and cocky. I think there's a bit of give her a go attitude. So I think there'll be she'll have a pretty decent honeymoon period. So if she is going to do something like that, it's better to expend it in the honeymoon period and then score some runs pretty quickly so that she can extend that period a bit more. So whether it's cost of living relief for voters or some really concrete details, which we didn't see a lot of details about Labor's economic plan. We saw the broad brushstrokes of the fiscal strategy, but we didn't see a lot of intricate details. So, look, that's Labor's first most pressing challenge.
That's Paul Williams, a political analyst at Queensland's Griffith University, speaking to Ian Townsend. And, yes, perhaps that's the subtext story to that Queensland result, another government potentially taking power on a fairly slight program. And the cycle continues. 14 minutes away from 9 o'clock here on RN Breakfast.